Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvin Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today. Unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvin Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. When you think about what matters to you the most, whether it's education, healthcare, food, safety and security, when you think about those things, who is the last person that should be in charge of making those of making decisions related to those areas? In my view, that the worst possible decision maker there is going to be the federal government. In education, the federal government has given us Common Core after No Child Left Behind and its other series of disasters. The federal government has given us education that has made our education a national embarrassment. The federal government is damaged healthcare, making it a high price, unaffordable, and lower quality than we could have had otherwise. The federal government has damaged our food supply through the FDA or the USDA. Today we're going to have two federal candidates on. Later in the show, we'll have another federal candidate on. Right now we're going to have Herschel Young. Herschel is a candidate for Missouri's 4th Congressional District. He is looking to downsize government to get it out of the way of your life so that you have more freedoms, so that you are more prosperous, so that you have your rights looked after and defended. Herschel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Herschel, let's get started over here. I mean, we have so many different areas. I mean, let's start with one of the biggest things that's on people's mind right now, healthcare. What role do you see the government having in healthcare?
Well, the government shouldn't be in healthcare. The government shouldn't be doing anything that should be in a private entity. That's the biggest problem. The government keeps trying to step in and control everybody's life, and over the last 30 years, the government has been trying to make everybody dependent upon it, and the government should be dependent upon the citizens, not the citizens dependent upon the government.
Absolutely. You know, that's such a powerful idea that we understand so much in the liberty movement, the liberty world, that it's not the people who should be afraid of the government. It's the government, if anything, that should be afraid of the people, or at the very least respectful of the people. And we've gotten to a point now where the government is certainly not afraid of and certainly not even respectful of the people. I mean, we have situations in healthcare where people are not allowed to try experimental medicines when they're essentially would have only a couple weeks left to live. These type of FDA restrictions, you know, according to researchers like Mary Ruart, have actually killed more people than they've saved. Would you be willing to work to, for example, let's just start with the biggest thing. What would you do about Obamacare? Would you be willing to sponsor legislation to get rid of it?
Yes, I wouldn't have a problem sponsoring bills to eliminate Obamacare, eliminate a lot of government wasteful spending and control.
Mm-hmm.
They're just totally out of touch with the citizens of the United States. They have no idea what it's like to actually work for a living and support a family.
I think that's 100% true. When you look at some of the behaviors that you see in Congress, just the way that they spend money on some of these just completely either ridiculous things or just kind of pointless things. But honestly, if you ask me, I would rather have them spending time and money on completely ridiculous and pointless things than have them spend time and money on the things that really matter. You know, as an educator myself, to me, one of the closest things to my heart is education. And when I see the damage the federal government is doing to education right now through, you know, programs like the Common Core, it infuriates me. Is that an area where you would be willing to downsize parts of the federal Department of Education or even eliminate it entirely?
I've already put it out there on my Facebook page and at several different speaking engagements that I'm for eliminating the Department of Education for the simple fact they don't even teach our children how to learn anymore. They teach them what they want them to learn. And that is such a disability for our children. When I was in school, we were taught how to learn, to absorb more and think on our own. And now they teach the kids, this is all you need to know. And it's ridiculous. You have maybe 1 or 2% of the students nowadays that actually learn more than what the school teaches them.
And I think that's right now one of the biggest issues that we're seeing. You know, we see, for example, with truancy laws, when we have students who are AP students, honor students, you know, they need to stay home, look after a younger sibling, maybe a younger sibling that's sick, and then, you know, the parents are at work. You know, we have situations where people are being picked up, you know, honor students are being picked up by the police for violating truancy laws. I mean, things like that to me are completely backwards. And I think the first step that we're talking about here, eliminating the Department of Education, is exactly the right thing to do, especially at the federal level. Now, just to make it clear for our listeners, would you be willing to sponsor legislation to make that happen?
Yes, that's one of the most important things to make happen, is to get the education back into the hands of the parents and the local education boards and everything, instead of having people that's 3,000 miles away telling you how to educate your children and what to teach them and how to teach them. There is so much that is left out of our educational books, our history books nowadays. I was looking at a ninth grade history book, and there's 4 pages allocated to the Holocaust. Four pages. There's only like 6 pages for the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
This is an atrocious to be doing this to our history of such a great nation. Our nation used to be great. We're still the greatest nation in the world, but we're not the great nation we was. And it's because of these little acts of from Congress and the presidents, just like the way they've done foster care and everything. They've commercialized everything. It's all about money. They don't care about the kids. They don't care what's best for the children anymore. They're all about the money. Who's going to make the most money off these kids?
I cannot believe the
blind eye that some of our elected officials have turned to people that came to them for help.
And I think that's a very powerful idea, Dee, over there. We have this idea that it is the private sector is somehow this, you know, more commercial or greedier sector. But if you actually look at what's going on in the private sector, in order to make any money, you actually have to provide a high quality product. Whereas in the public sector, as we can see with education, you can provide the lowest quality product in the world and still have Americans be essentially forced to spend over $500 billion a year on it. I mean, that's a 100% backwards. Now, Herschel, where are some of the other areas? Are there other departments that you think that we could be rid of?
I don't know about getting rid of, but I'd love to cut a lot of wasteful spending on the educating, the medical, the housing for illegal citizens. I'm a firm believer, if you are not a U.S. citizen, and I'm not saying here illegally, I'm saying if you're not a U.S. citizen, you should not qualify for free housing, free medical care, free education. And nobody gave it to us. We all pay taxes. We all work for it. And, why should someone from another country, here legally or illegally, get a free education, free medical care? We don't do it for our own, so why should we do it for somebody that's just traveling through?
Well, I mean, one of the really nice things that we have about the free market, and the really nice thing about free market, is that it also extends to charity. And one of the things that I think you're correctly pointing out that many libertarians believe is that we have no problem with anybody donating money to anybody from any country or any walk of life or any persuasion or anything. We have no problem we don't have any problem even if somebody that wants to live, if you want to live in a commune and be 100% communist, by all means, do it. What we do have a problem with is if you're forcing, if you're stealing money, if you're taking money under threats of force and using that towards, you know, something where the person who earned the money might not necessarily agree with that or might not want to do it. I mean, that right over there, I mean, there is no difference between forced charity and theft. As soon as you're taking money by force, you're basically engaging in theft. Now, Herschel, would you work to stop that theft?
Yes.
And I think that, go ahead.
I hate the fact that the federal government is worse about it than the states about taking money from us and then turning around and saying, but we're going to give you a tax break. We're going to give you a refund for this. We're going to give you a credit for this and mm-hmm. everything. They're charging us, you know, 25% to 35% taxes. And then they say, oh, we'll give you 4 or 5% back. And they make, mm-hmm. they want us to act like we're grateful for them giving back money that they shouldn't ever taken to begin with. The federal government should be able to operate on 10%.
And if we can just get I think right over there is a key difference. We're going to talk about a little bit more about this right after the break. Right now what you're hearing is Herschel Young is explaining that we can downsize the federal government. We can downsize taxes. We can cut taxes. If taxes right now are 35%, and I believe that the number that Herschel just mentioned was 10%, we're talking about a 60-70% reduction in taxes. And you know what? At that level, we'll probably get better services because the government won't have the money to interfere with our lives. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We're going to be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Herschel Young. He's the candidate for Congress in Missouri's 4th District. Last said, we talked about downsizing the Department of Education, getting rid of Obamacare, making sure that America can have the best health care and the best education in the world. And the way to accomplish that is through the free market. Let people make the right decisions. Let each person make the decisions that's most correct for his or her children, for his or her family, for themselves, instead of having the government force upon everybody the worst possible decision. Things like Common Core, you know, things like the FDA telling you that you can't use medicine, saying that you can't, even if you're, you know, just if you're terminally ill, you're a week away from death, you can't try out an experimental drug. That kind of stuff is ridiculous. And that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about getting rid of. Herschel, let's talk a little bit about civil liberties. I want to talk about the, you know, we talked at the beginning about that fundamental principle, which is that the government should be respectful of the people, if not even afraid of the people. And the people should never be afraid of the government, the exact opposite of the situation you have right now. One of the biggest differences, in my view at least, between a group of citizens and just a group of subjects to a tyrannical power is the right to keep and bear arms to use for defense against crime or to use even for defense against the government. How do you feel about the right to bear arms?
I believe that everybody, no matter if they've committed a crime or not, if they've paid their debt to society, should, and by the Constitution, have the right to bear arms. In some cases, I believe that it should be a law that they have at least one firearm in the house for self-protection, even if they don't want to load it or anything. Just where it's there, every criminal will have to think twice. Okay, there's a gun in that house. If I go through that door, are they going to blow me back out in the middle of the street? If I go in there to harm those young ladies or the gentlemen or whatever, are they going to defend themselves? Mm-hmm. They keep throwing out there that doing away with guns and everything is going to save crime. Look at Chicago. Look at Australia. Look at Britain. Look at the crime rates. When St. Louis enacted the right to defend your property and everything, and their crime dropped like 20% within weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in the right to bear arms, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion.
And that right there is exactly what we're talking about. We're basically saying that if you have, you know, I myself, if I'm in an area, you know, even though I don't personally carry a firearm with me, if I'm in an area where I know many, many people, many, many law-abiding, decent citizens, civilians are carrying weapons, I know that I don't need to be afraid of some random mugger or some random, you know, somebody trying to assault me, because I know there's so many of my fellow citizens around who are ready to defend me. And that's a really huge difference. I mean, there's that saying, and it's such a perfect saying, I think, which is that when seconds matter, the police are just minutes away. And depending on the government to defend you, just doesn't even make any just logical sense. And so I really appreciate that you're working. Now, will you work in Congress? Now, for example, one of the biggest areas that we've seen recently is the issue of gun-free school zones. Will you work to get rid of those gun-free school zone laws so that schools can, you know, and teachers and administrators can defend themselves from armed attackers?
I'm glad you brought that subject up, because that is a real touchy subject. And I'm a firm believer in any gun-free zone is a free kill zone.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, well, that's morbid. Well, that's the way these psychopaths look at it. Mm-hmm. If it's gun-free, there is going to be nobody there that's abiding by the law that's going to be carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have nothing to worry about on somebody defending themselves. When we went to school, and I might be dating myself, but I'm 47 years old. When I went to school, if somebody had a new shotgun, a new rifle or something, the coach would say, yeah, we can show it off and everything. We had skeet shoots right on the football field. Well, the coach would set up the skeet machine, we'd shoot skeet.
Mm-hmm.
We educated everybody on how to use a gun, to respect the gun, respect each other. I'm a firm believer in respect, accountability, and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Respect each other. Be responsible for what you do and what what others do and what you do, and be self-accountable for everything that you've done. If you do something wrong, be accountable for it. You do something good, be accountable for it. Don't be ashamed to stand up for somebody that needs help, and don't be disrespecting somebody just because they're different.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, you know, you've served in public office before, is that correct?
Yes, I served 8 years as a city council, and then I was elected commissioner by the citizens of Cass County, which I was removed because of a personal vendetta law that didn't involve me, but it said anybody that had a felony was not allowed to run for office. Well, I wasn't running for office anymore. I had been elected, and they overturned the citizens of Cass County's election to remove me from office because somebody spat on my wife 21 years ago, and I gave them the opportunity to apologize. They didn't apologize. They swung on me, and there was three of them, one of me, and I got charged with assault by a prosecuting attorney that hated me, and the feelings were mutual with him.
So now what I think is really critical over there is, you know, you're somebody that has served in public office, and you know what it takes to do that. Now, if you serve in public office again, will you? I mean, you've said on the radio that you're going to work to get rid of these restrictions on the Second Amendment. You said that you'll be willing to work to get the federal government out of the way of education, to get rid of Obamacare. You're somebody that's already been in this position, and you will. Is that something that you're going to now be seriously working to downsize and eliminate some of these laws?
Yes. I really want to go to Washington, D.C. and actually give we the people representation. We have no representation right now. I was being interviewed the other day by a TV station, and they asked me a question about a third party. And I took and told them, I said, I'd be happy with a second party. Right now, all we have is the establishment. And we have established Democrats and established Republicans, and they do the same thing. They take government money, give it to people for votes. They don't care what they give the money away for as long as they get back in office. They have personal agendas. They do not have public agenda. A public agenda is what's best for the public, not for an individual. No individual should be getting special treatment over the general public.
And what's really telling about that is that if you look at the financial backers, the biggest donors to the Republican Party are also the biggest donors to the Democratic Party. I mean, it's just like one group that's just holding, essentially with two puppets is really the image that comes to mind. You got your donkey puppet and you got your elephant puppet, and you can pretend that they're different, but they're serving the same interests. You know, they're both expanding government. They're both, you know, using the military for all kinds of purposes. Do you think it's time to bring some of these troops home, or what do you think we should be doing militarily right now?
Militarily, we're at the weakest point we've ever been in as a nation. We could not even defend ourselves if we were attacked, a full-on attack. That is the only department that I would be willing to increase for the simple fact our borders are not secure. We have 3,600 miles of northern border. We have 1,800 plus miles of southern border. We have an east and west coast that the Coast Guards do an excellent job on defending. Our military is there to protect. And
now, what about bringing some of that military? I mean, right now, I think you're right that that we couldn't defend ourselves. But I think a big part of the reasons why we can't defend ourselves is because none of our troops are here, and all of our troops are off doing something else that's maybe not super important for us to do.
Do you realize how few troops we have overseas compared to what we did in the 80s? The troops that we have overseas and everything, and I'm a firm believer, I'd rather fight these terroristic battles on their ground instead of in Kansas City or Manhattan or Los Angeles or Dallas. I don't want to destroy America fighting these terrorists. If we're going to fight them, wipe them out. You cannot manage terrorism. Anybody that has that narrow mind of managing terrorism needs to be out of office. You wipe out terrorism for the simple fact they have no conscience. They don't care if it's a three-month-old baby or a 80-year-old man. They're going to kill them just for the general purpose of getting their point across.
One final question before we, because there's one more thing that I wanted to ask before we ran out of time, and one of the things you know that I've seen, you know, you focus on your website, and you know really in a couple other areas, is we kind of touched on this in the last set, but I really wanted to talk about it just a little bit more before we ran out of time. Is you also talked about ways in which we can downsize spending. If you were going to just talk about just a couple ways of downsizing spending right before we run out of time, what would some of those ways be?
Double financing and support of different programs. There is cutting just the wasteful spending out of the road departments.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a vast movement. It's not something that you just say you're going to eliminate this program, but you got a program there that supports housing, and then you got five more that support housing. Why are we funding five programs that support housing? Why are we supporting six medical programs? We need to cut it down where, especially at the federal government level, if we're going to do something like that, it's one program, one set of staff, not supporting six staff buildings, offices, and everything at all levels. They have...
I think that's like a really powerful message. You know, I wish we had more time to talk about how we could get rid of some of those redundancies, but I think just the fact that those redundancies exist just let us know how much government that we can downsize. Herschel, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'd be glad to come back anytime.
Awesome. Guys, we've been talking with Herschel Young. He's a candidate for Congress in Missouri's 4th District. If you look up Herschel Young on Facebook, you can see what's going on in his campaign on a day-to-day basis. You know, people like Herschel are trying to downsize government, but they can't do it alone. They need you to go to lp.org/states and get involved in your state party. Even better, you yourself can also run for office and show the same courage that so many candidates are doing right now, really working hard, putting themselves out there to find ways to downsize government, cut taxes, get rid of departments. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkgaard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your team. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. With today's focus on federal government, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about a particular campaign that's very dear to my own heart, and that's my own campaign. Like many of the candidates that you've heard from on this show, my campaign is about one thing, and that's downsizing government. As an educator, my primary focus for so much of my life has been education, and I have yet to see a single organization do more damage to education than the federal government, as it's been doing right now via Common Core, as it's done in the past via No Child Left Behind, as it's doing right now by driving up the cost of college tuition. One of the things that I plan to do if I'm elected is to actually eliminate the Federal Department of Education. And there's several parts of eliminating the Federal Department of Education, and I think it's important to understand just how beneficial it can be to eliminate each of those parts. One part of the Federal Department of Education is the part of the Department of Federal Education that tries to control, restrict, and manipulate curricula in classrooms. The issue with that is that, just like every other part of the federal government, it's very open to cronyism. And cronyism in education basically means that you're selling a low-quality curriculum to a large number of schools at a very high cost. It's a curriculum that you would never be able to sell on the open market. A curriculum like Common Core would never survive for a second on the open market. So instead of trying to compete fairly, which the makers of Common Core know that they cannot do, they instead are trying to use legislative force to get their agenda passed. Now, by eliminating the Federal Department of Education, what that means is now you are going to be able to control and choose what type of curriculum works better for your child. If you want to, you still would have the option to use something like Common Core, or to specifically use Common Core if that's what you want to do. But as an educator myself, I would strongly advise against it. I would strongly advise looking in any other possible curriculum that could possibly exist. There are very few worse options that I've ever seen than Common Core. There's another part of the federal government that negatively affects education, and that is what the federal government has done to higher education. So many students today graduate with $10, $20, $30, $50, even $100,000 in debt. Now, the argument, of course, the other side is going to try to make is that if it wasn't for federal loans and federal aid, that number would be even higher, but that's simply not true. You see, if there were no federally guaranteed student loans, then colleges would have no choice but to lower their tuitions. Right now, the tuition you pay at college has nothing to do with the actual price of education. Right now, a private college charges about $111 an hour just to sit in a lecture. That lecture might be taught by a grad student, not even a full professor. In the free market, on the other hand, you can probably hire a full professor to tutor you one-on-one for $111 an hour. In other words, something's gone so wrong in the economics of higher education that it is literally cheaper to have a one-on-one tutoring session with a college professor than to sit in a lecture hall with a grad student presenting a class. Now, not surprisingly, what's happened over there is the federal government has driven up the cost of education. They've done that by making loans available to anybody who asks for it. Colleges realize this and thus increase their tuition accordingly. In the last decades, college tuition has increased at more than double, almost three times the rate of inflation. Now let's look at the reverse of that. What if we eliminated all federal loans, all federal student loans? Here's the result that you would have. You would have lower tuition. That means instead of having to save for your child's entire life for college, or students, or instead of graduating with several hundred thousand or $100,000 worth of debt, you would have a lower cost, higher quality product. College tuition wouldn't cost $60,000 a year. Maybe some would, but there would probably be quite a few colleges that would charge maybe $10,000 a year, maybe $6,000 a year. If there's price competition, colleges will realize that there's some people who, all things equal, would rather pay a little bit less than a little bit more. If you're one of those people, then the first thing you need to see happen is a complete elimination of the federal department's influence in education. In particular, a complete elimination of all federal financial student loans. But I don't think we can stop at education. I think to really make a difference in the federal government today, we need to take it to the next level. And that next level means starting to look at some of the other departments that are taking our money and using it for foolish goals. In fact, it's not that they're using it for foolish goals. The goals themselves are often good. But the thing is this, like I said at the top of the show, if something's important, you don't want the federal government involved. If something's important, there's a good chance it's too important to let the federal government be a part of it. One of the first things that I'm going to do if I'm elected is I'm going to sponsor legislation to dramatically downsize military spending. Right now, so many of the enemies that we have are enemies that we're creating. We're creating it by interfering with their lives, by interfering with their national sovereignty, by just generally getting involved in areas in which we have no business. That's not to say that I have any opposition with groups of people joining foreign armies and fighting on either side of any war they want to, but requiring all Americans, many of whom oppose these immoral wars, to be forced to pay for them and forced to fund them, to me is absolutely unconscionable. The benefit of that is that we're going to be safer. We're going to be a much safer nation. We're also going to be a much more prosperous nation because we simply will not have to spend so much money on such a counterproductive military policy. We're going to be able to keep more of our money. Everybody's paying taxes. You're going to pay a lot less taxes. In fact, the average American household will save about $4,000 a year in taxes. That means that's another $4,000 that you're going to have in your pocket. You might use that, some of that money, on an education that's no longer being made overly expensive by a federal government. Or you might spend it on technology. Or you might spend it on a well-earned vacation. Spend it however you like. But if you have more of your money, you won't even want the federal government getting in the way and spending it ineffectively. Privacy right now is a big and major important part of what's going on with the American government. I think one of the first things that needs to happen over there, and I've already pledged to sponsor legislation to this effect, is that we need to completely get rid of the Patriot Act. I'll sponsor legislation to completely repeal the Patriot Act, as well as sponsor legislation to completely downsize the currently 18 redundant spy agencies into one. And that means we're going to have a massive, massive downsize in terms of our spy agencies, and that means much less spending and much more privacy. Here's the thing. When a spy agency runs out of other countries to spy on, there's no real option. There's no one else for them to spy on but to spy on us. And I'm going to make sure that they don't have the resources to squander on things like that and are forced to focus on the things that actually matter. Now, in a couple minutes, we're going to be talking to Rob Sarvis. Rob Sarvis, as you know, as many of you know, broke records in the last election in his run for governor of Virginia. This time he's running for Senate. Now, people like Rob and people like me, we're trying to downsize government to improve your life, but we can't do it alone. You need to go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in a campaign in your state. If it's just even as something as simple as handing out flyers or posting a few things on Facebook can make a huge difference in a campaign. But if you really want to help the libertarian cause, the best thing you can do is to run for office yourself. Go to lp.org and you can find out more about running for office. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back in a few minutes with Rob Sarvis.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1. That's right, just $1. You will have access to our three weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our triple your money back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you three times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788.
That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. My next guest is Rob Sarvis. Rob Sarvis, much like myself, has a degree in mathematics. His degree is from Harvard University and also from the University of Cambridge. He has a JD from NYU School of Law, a master's in economics from George Mason University. He has a huge professional background. He's been an app developer, a math teacher, a lawyer. He's married. He has two kids. And last election, Rob shattered the previous record for the most for the highest percentage votes for a Virginia governor candidate for, as far as I know, any third party. He got 6% of the vote last time. We're hoping that we get a huge vote total this time. Rob, you're running for Senate right now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again. It's a pleasure to be here.
Rob, let's get started. I mean, one of the things what we just finished talking about in the last segment is surveillance, privacy. Now, how do you feel about the right to privacy, and what ways do we need to change the government to make that happen?
Well, the right to privacy is of fundamental importance. It's especially when you're talking about the federal government. The federal government is not supposed to be telling us how to live our lives in minute detail. And it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be keeping us safe, but in the name of safety, the federal government has basically instituted these vast mass surveillance programs that I think are clearly unconstitutional. We have a secret court system that doesn't, you know, nothing really gets up to the Supreme Court. A lot of the decisions they make aren't public. And I think it's really corrosive. All the secrecy and the surveillance is really corrosive to freedom. Especially when we have so many laws on the books, it becomes very easy to, if a bureaucrat doesn't like you, or your government has a problem with what you're doing, doesn't like the your politics or how you live, you know, it creates an instrumentality for tyranny.
I think that's absolutely true. If you're elected, what do you plan to do to reduce some of that? Or, you know, what do you think in general needs to be done to reduce that? Is it a question of repealing the Patriot Act? Is it a question of defunding NSA surveillance? I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, I think it starts with our senators and representatives doing a better job of knowing what's going on, communicating it with the people, and putting limits on what the government can do. I'm running against an incumbent, Mark Warner. He's just finishing his first term. He voted for both of the enabling statutes, including the Patriot Act. He's voted against several of the amendments, which would have protected citizen privacy and dialed back on the surveillance. And so we just need to, and I should say that I'm also running against a Republican who was an advisor in the Bush administration. So is, he's been there since the beginning of sort of the ramp up of post 9/11 surveillance. And I think having somebody who is dedicated to the Constitution, dedicated to Fourth Amendment protections, and to privacy is just going to make a huge difference. First of all, you know, we can get rid of the statutes that even allow the mass surveillance state to exist. We can also get rid of programs, that put surveillance, you know, very sophisticated surveillance technology into the hands of local law enforcement. And, you know, we can make sure that the court system is you know, first of all, not secret, and is that we have proper oversight of the intelligence agencies. But I think we have to go further than that, and I think that we have to actually make sure that the tools of surveillance that we might want a government to have with respect to foreign threats or foreign governments cannot be used. It's architected in a way that cannot be abused. Right now, it seems to be the case that average workers at some of these intelligence agencies can go onto the computer and access some of the instruments of surveillance. That's exactly how it should not work. That is a recipe for abuse. So all of the systems have to be designed and architected in a way where the mere access to the tool has to be predicated on some reasonable suspicion or a higher standard, and is, you know, requires a process to go through, including a judicial warrant and other levels of security so that it can't be abused.
I mean, what you're really talking about is defending the is actually abiding by the Fourth Amendment and making sure that for any kind of search, whether that's a sort of a computer-based search or whether that's, you know, some other type of search, it needs to be something that is very specific to that person. That warrant cannot be just a general block warrant for everybody always all the time.
That's exactly right. That's the whole purpose of the Fourth Amendment was to require a particularized showing of signed by a judge that would justify a government taking those powers and using it against private individuals. And I think it's just an ethic in Washington and a culture in Washington that the government should be granted permission to do all sorts of things like that. And I think the culture has to change. And we can change the culture through elections by electing libertarians.
Absolutely. Now, what are some other areas? I mean, do you see other areas of government that need to be? And we've talked about, you know, repealing the Patriot Act as maybe a first step. Do you see other areas of government that should be, or what other areas of government, I should say, do you think should be most immediately downsized, or what laws do you think most should be most immediately repealed?
Well, certainly the federal government, pretty much any area you name, there's room for downsizing, for getting the federal government out, or at least reducing the harm that the federal government does. I mean, if you look at the areas, the industries where we have the most problems, like healthcare and education, transportation, energy, these are the areas where the government is either controlling the industry or massively regulating it. And the healthcare crisis, you know, it's a sixth of the economy. Obamacare moves us totally in the wrong direction towards more federal control. The most important thing that we could do is just start looking at all the government regulations, both at the state and the federal level, that have undermined the ability of people to get affordable care. And if you just think about, you know, what happens if we free up doctors, mm-hmm. the number of doctors that we have, and free up nurses, give them independent practice rights, deregulate mm-hmm. the licensing regime. All of a sudden, you have more supply of health care professionals. At the same time, you can deregulate the demand side, where we incentivize overconsumption of health care. All of a sudden, you're going to see price reductions with more competition, more nurses and doctors and other healthcare professionals, people economizing once they see the price that they're paying for various things. And, you know, that's how you get, deregulation is how you get affordable care into every community in the United States.
And we're talking about actually affordable health care, not health care that's been made artificially affordable. Rob, we're basically out of time, but I think you've really just made it just so clear to the listeners just exactly what needs to happen, at least in two areas. If you want to find out some of the other areas of how downsizing government or getting government out of the way can help improve your life, you can go to robertsarvis.com. Robert, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Arvin. It's always a pleasure.
Guys, people like Robert Sarvis, people like Herschel Young, people like me, we're running for office, we're trying to downsize government, and we're trying to make your life better by getting the government out of your way and preventing the government from harming you with harmful and negative policies. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. You go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state, or just go to lp.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.